It's time to uncover the inspired team leader within you. Overcome the challenges of hidden agendas and miscommunications that create stress and a lack of productivity. Project management expert Norm Prevost and connection expert Heather Hansen-O'Neill are here to provide you with a consistent infusion of inspiration and team strategies. In addition, your hosts will invite knowledgeable leaders to inject different viewpoints, situations, and solutions for an all-encompassing perspective on achieving winning team performance. Spend the next hour to improve your mindset and increase your skills. This is the Inspired Team Leader Show, your path to innovative ideas and action items you can implement today to create a more productive team and feel amazing in your role. Here to inspire you are hosts Norm Prevost and Heather Hansen-O'Neill.
Hello and welcome to the Inspired Team Leader Show. I am Heather Hansen-O'Neill. I have my co-host with me today, Norm Prevost. Say hello, Norm.
Hello, Norm.
And we have a fabulous inspiring and funny and a great leader with us today. But before we get to introducing him, I want to just ask you listeners how you're feeling today. Are you a little stressed? Are you on top of the world? Are you feeling like you could use some strategies? Are you super productive or a little lagging in energy? Well, if you are either lagging in energy or stressed out by the end of the hour, I'm sure that you'll be feeling much better, more motivated, and also have a few strategies that you can take action on right away. We have a great guest today. Walt Grossel recently retired from a career as a team leader in the aerospace industry, and now he is on a mission to help people overcome stage fright. Yes, you heard me correctly. It is a little bit of a jump, but you're going to find out exactly why that's going to help you. At the age of 50, Walt chose to face his fear of stage fright. It wasn't easy. Through Toastmasters, boot camp, speech contest, improv, and more, he was able to transform his fear into an opportunity to lead a more powerful life. Walt has performed stand-up comedy, the Hollywood Improv, and the Flamagus. He's performed in improv and sketch comedy shows and has been accepted to study improvisation and sketch comedy at the prestigious Groundling School in Hollywood. Walt hosts the internet radio Stand Up and Speak Up and is the author of magazine articles and the book called, surprisingly, Stand Up and Speak Up. And we're going to learn from Walt a little bit more about his experience in the aerospace industry as a team leader, but also how to use his tools and what he learned in overcoming his fears to help you become a stronger, more powerful leader. So welcome, Walt.
Thank you, Heather and Norm. It is my pleasure to be a guest on your show. Happy Valentine's Day as
well. Oh, happy Valentine's Day. Big hugs to you and to all our listeners and to you, Norm.
Big hug to you back. And welcome, Walt.
Thank you.
Okay, so first things first, Walt, how about we go back a little bit? Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience in the aerospace industry and about your experience as a team leader, and then we'll figure out how we can use some of these new strategies.
Okay. I started with my big aerospace company when I was 17 years old as a technician, and I worked there and went to school at the same time. And in one of the early work groups I was in, there was an opening for a group leader of the leader of about five engineers. And one person wanted to be the leader because nobody would do what he said. And that was his motivation for being the leader. If they make me the boss, people will do what I said. The other people in the team said, if they make him the leader, I'm going to transfer. And I asked some of them, well, why won't you, you know, volunteer to be considered for the assignment? They go, I could never do that. So I was in my early 20s, was asked to be a leader. Now, mind you, one of the people on the team was older than my father, and I said, well, I can't go in there and tell people what to do, but if you train me on what it is to be a leader, I will do it. And there was a big void in my engineering company of engineers who wanted to be leaders. So I decided that, hey, you know, for job security, if I follow that path and study, that might be an opportunity for me, in spite of the fact that I was painfully shy, even one-on-one with people I didn't know, and had stage fright in terms of talking to groups of people. But I chose that career path because I always figured if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And because nobody else would step up, I did, and it worked out really well for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. That must have been really scary in the beginning, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was extremely scary. It's one of those things, you know, they say yes and figure it out later. Mm-hmm. I did that without even knowing that that was a strategy. I just realized that it would be a terrible work environment if the only person that wanted to do it didn't have the right mindset. It was a total power trip, and he didn't believe in working with people and getting on the same page. He wanted to boss people around, and I couldn't see that happening. And since none of my coworkers were going to step up, I figured, okay, I would do it. I have this philosophy. Have you heard the term lead, follower, get out of the way?
Yeah.
I'm very happy being a follower. In fact, I'm probably most happy due to my stage fright as being the right-hand man or the chief of staff for somebody in power. But many times nobody steps up to fill that void, and I've forced myself to do that and experienced tremendous growth by stepping into those leadership roles.
That's incredible. You know, I work a lot actually with engineers in the team development work that I do. And I find that typically people are moved into the leadership position as a supervisor and management because of their abilities technically, and they don't necessarily train them as well as they could on leadership. Now, you mentioned that they were giving you some training. What was the biggest thing that you think that you learned from that?
Well, one of the trainings, they showed this old movie, I think it was with Gregory Peck, called 12 O'Clock High. It's about a bomber squadron in World War II. And it was really about the concept of situational leadership. You have to know how to be firm when you need to be firm and how to be supportive when you need to be supportive. You can't treat every employee or every situation the same way. And that was one of the big takeaways. And the other thing that I learned was that it's not about telling people what to do. It's about getting people to understand that there's a common goal that we are tasked to achieve, and that together we figure out what to do. And later I kind of learned that that was something that they call a servant leadership model, where the purpose of the leader is to serve the team and the people on the team and make it as easy for them to do the job, both in terms of providing resources, but also in terms of providing direction and coordination and fostering communication and all the other skills that go into making a great leader.
Oh, that's fantastic. And what a great lead-in. Norm has an awesome guest coming up that's going to be speaking specifically on servant leadership. Right, Norm? Who is that again?
That's Kevin Monroe from the Greenleaf Organization, and he will be here on March 7th.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
So that's a great lead-in there. And I love the fact, Walt, that you picked out the movie. I mean, you probably got a lot of different training, but the movie made an impact with you. And I think that has to do with the fact that stories are very powerful ways to teach lessons. So later on, I might ask for a story from you about a lesson that you learned. How about telling us a little bit about what you think makes a team successful?
I think the biggest thing that a team needs to do to be successful is to be aligned and everybody pulling in the same direction. Many times, as I'll give an engineering example, you'll have an electrical engineer and a mechanical engineer, and you'll have thermal analysts and structural analysts, and usually what is good for one is not necessarily good for the other. And it's having each person understand really the pain that the others on the team feel so that they realize they're all in this together. There was one instance where we were tasked to build a next generation of a system, a GPS system, to go in airplanes. And each of the leads for the different components, they were all saying, well, I have to have so much power to do my job. And when you added up the power, that was more power than we had available on the aircraft. And I nobody wanted to give up just on their own. And then I got the team leads in a room and said, look, here's our problem. If I give everybody what they must have, we can't deliver the product, so we might as well just go home. And then all of a sudden people said, oh, okay, well, I could probably give this, and if you do this, I can do this. And then people started to break loose from their real rigid positions and work together. But it was about sharing the pain and making sure everybody understood what was going on and put it into the bigger perspective of what's going on for the team, not just what's best for the individual.
Ah, I love that. And what a great term, too, sharing the pain. It is important to feel each other's pain so that you can come from a place of empathy and compromise, which is what you help them to see. That's a great job. We have about a minute before we go to break. I want to offer our callers an opportunity to call in after the break if they would like to ask you any questions, Walt. That phone number is 888-475-9405. Norm, did you have any thoughts for Walt before we go to break, or would you like to have him head off?
Well, no, I appreciated the story because it talks about how bringing everyone together so they all understand what's going on, they'll make their own choices rather than Walt just dictating what had to happen. And I think that's the fundamentals of team.
Exactly. I love that. Okay, so we'll end on that. We'll have a couple of commercials and we'll come back and ask Walt a few more questions. Thank you, gentlemen.
Project management expert Norm Prevost and connection expert Heather Hansen O'Neill return after this short break with more inspiration and team strategies to help you and your team achieve winning team performance. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ready for the most current feel-good gossip? Then check out Daytime with Donna with your host, Donna Intercastle, and sidekick Nina Fry every Friday afternoon at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Simply the best. Better than all the rest. Donna is a charismatic, market-driven entrepreneur who was part of the team that founded iVillage.com, which is the largest content-driven community for women today. Donna and Nina are here to empower you, motivate you, and encourage you in all aspects of your life. It's like Oprah on the radio. Plus, your chance to win great prizes, all the way up to a $500 Visa gift card. For more on Donna Intricasso, check out her website, introinc.com. Then join us for the show, Daytime with Donna, with your host, Donna Intricasso, and sidekick Nina Fry. Friday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com.
I am not the woman I used to be. I'm free with Minister Diane Jones. Monday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet. This is your chance, ladies, to hear stories of hope and healing from someone who's been there. Someone who has fought back from the horrors of incest. Minister Diane's innocence was stolen from her in the land of alcoholism and mental illness, which led to her being emotionally, physically, and sexually abused by her parents. Yet in spite of this trauma, she has gone on to become a successful wife, mother, registered nurse, and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not the woman I used to be. I'm Free is a straight-up show to enlighten you and to lighten your load. Do not let the weight of this world or the things that have happened to you control your life. For more on the show and Diane and her book, The Story of Me, email her directly from her show page here on TogiNet. Then, join us for I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be, I'm Free, with Minister Diane Jones, Monday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to the Inspired Team Leader Show, your source for inspiration and strategies for achieving winning team performance. With more of today's show, here are Norm Prevost and Heather Hanson-O'Neill.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Heather Hanson-O'Neill. Norm Prevost is with us and our special guest, Walt Grussell, today. He was giving us some information about his background in the aerospace industry, what he learned coming up the ranks to leadership. Love that. Now, Walt, I'm actually going to ask you, how did you transition out of that into your current career? Please tell us.
Well, in some ways, it was much easier than you would think. It was real easy to retire because I'd been there for 37 years. And the biggest change in my life, like you mentioned in the intro, was when I turned 50, I had some situations at work that compelled me at my level of leadership to deal with stage fright. And because I was doing it a little bit later in life, I kind of did it like I was on steroids. I did Toastmasters, didn't really progress, and then I started doing some improv and stand-up. And once I really got comfortable facing my fears, getting out of that box that was limiting me, I enjoyed performing. I really loved doing improv. And I had decided that I set a goal for me to be good enough to get paid to speak by the time I turned 55 and could retire. And I was having so much fun doing improv at that time. And I just decided, you know what, I financially can retire. And now I want to go out, make a difference, maybe inspire people to face their fears and overcome stage fright. But at the same time, I'm having fun hosting a radio show. I had fun writing a book. I'm having fun speaking. I'm really enjoying performing. And so I just decided, you know what? There's no sense dealing with the stress of a commute if you don't have to. And now I'm in control of my life. That's really the biggest deal. When you work in a corporate environment, unless you run the company, you have to report to somebody and you have to plan your day according to their agenda, at least in some respects. I am in control of my agenda. So that's the big deal for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. There were three things that struck me just now. One is that you're having fun. I am a big fan of fun. We're going to talk a little bit more about how important it is to be able to take your life to the next level and to be better at everything you do if you incorporate some joy and focus on bringing that into your life and into the work life. The other was the in control of my life phrase that you use, because I think that so often stress comes from trying to control the things that we don't control and then giving up control of the things that we do. So maybe we'll touch on that. And the big one, I think, is overcoming fear. What you did was you took something that was, you felt as if it was holding you back, that you were afraid of, and you learned how to conquer it. So Norm, I'm going to actually put you on the spot for a moment. What do you think are some of the fears that a leader might experience so that they can start to think about how some of Walt's strategies would apply in their world? Can you think of any fears that a leader might be experiencing?
Well, a couple that come to mind right off the top of my head is getting up in front of a group and trying to get them moving or talking or motivated, running meetings, or getting up in front of a group of executives and giving a status report or something like that. I also think that getting people motivated. You know, how do I do that? What within me inspires them?
Oh, that's good. Is that using that, you know, do I have enough inside of me? Any of those fears that we have and how to reduce those or let go of the blocks that we have, right, to be able to
exactly
be the most effective leader. That's good stuff, Norm. Thank you.
Exactly. Yep.
So, Walt, what can we, yes. I want to get into these waltz rules, which I absolutely love. But before we do, what do you think was the that transition point, that point where you said, no, this fear of speaking in public is just, I can't continue. You know what I mean? What was the motivating factor for you to go out and do these things that you did with Toastmasters and improv and all of that?
The thing that led me to take the first step was that our company was going through the first layoff in, I think, in my career. We had lost a program that employed 800 people. And we were fortunate that we didn't have a lot of big contracts. So if we lost one contract, we could usually find work for 40, 50 people by dispersing them amongst the other programs, because we were usually about 10% understaffed. You know what I mean? People were working, working hard on getting things done, and there was always opportunity to add people to help out and not have to have the people work as hard. That just helped with workforce flexibility. But we just could not absorb 800 people. So what they did was, the people that were laid off were notified one-on-one with their managers. But what they wanted to do was to inform the people that were not being laid off what was going on, why the layoffs were occurring, and how to treat the people who were being laid off. They weren't being laid off because they were poor performers. It was just a sad fact of the business that we had to make some cuts. And the HR people stressed to the managers, you shall make each and every one of these points with your people. And with my stage fright, in a conference room of 60 employees, some of them I knew, some of them not, I didn't know very well because I was a department manager at the time, I had to give the rules. And it was an emotional time for me, and the emotion showed in my voice, but I essentially was reading the points from HR. And my boss was in the back of the room, and he didn't directly give me feedback, but at the same time, we did what's called a 360 appraisal, where you get people who report to you, some of your peers, and some of the people above you, to provide feedback on a online form, and they can add some comments. Well, I only chose one leader, and that leader said I should work on my public speaking. So I put two and two together and said, my boss wants me to do something about this. And I talked to my HR manager, and he said, go check out Toastmasters. And I had heard about Toastmasters 15, 20 years before, and when they said, oh, we do this thing where we go around the room and people just talk about anything, that was just so far away with what I thought I could do. Number one, it wasn't really what happened, but the way it was presented to me, or the way I heard what was presented to me, it did not sound like something I wanted to do. And then, you know, there's things that we put up with, those little annoyances, a rattle in the car, you know, a scratch on our shoe that bothers our foot, but we're just too lazy, or we're just too resistant to change, and we put up with these annoyances. But, I mean, there were times when I would be in a room of 200 people, and a senior leader was asking for some input, and I had something valuable to contribute. And on some occasions, I would raise my hand, and then when called on, my mind would go blank. I would blah, 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 and couldn't get out a coherent thought. But more often than not, I would sit there and not have made my contribution, and something was lost. Sometimes I would try and get the information pushed up the chain through back channels, but it was limiting my career. But I chose to deal with it. And at that point, I decided, even though I figured I only had about 5 years left, I was going to do something about it. And I didn't know where it would lead. And I am so glad I made that choice.
That is fantastic. I mean, that's one of the things, right? Sometimes when we go down a different path or we try something new, we don't know where it's going to lead. But often, what happened for you does happen for people. And that is when you're doing something new, you're overcoming a fear, you're trying, you're expanding, you're growing, you end up finding something that could become a new passion or a new source of joy for you, which is exactly what happened to you. So these waltz rules, I love them. There's 15 of them here, and we're not going to go into all of them, but just curious, Walt, do you have a place that at the end of the hour we can send people so they could see the waltz rules?
Sure. They can go to waltgrassel.com. Mm-hmm. That's G-R-A-S-S-L. And they're there along with blogs that I've written about different subjects and a lot of other things about me on the website.
Great.
So feel free to visit and send
that
comments.
Again at the end, because that is so important to be able to have some takeaway that, and I want to just jump into number three. Say yes and figure it out later. I'm a big fan of doing that. So we have about 2 minutes. Can you speak on that before we go to break?
Sure. You know, one of the, there's say yes and figure it out later. And one of the corollaries to that is when opportunity, and I would not be on your show today had I not joined Toastmasters, because when I answered the opportunity to join Toastmasters, I then went to some boot camps and I learned how to speak. But I also was told, you know what, if you could just do some stand-up, you could, and get people to laugh, that will make you feel so much more comfortable in front of an audience. So I took stand-up. When I was at a speech contest in Toastmasters, somebody mentioned about improv. When I took improv, I learned to be in the moment. And then that led to performing in sketch comedy shows. And one saying yes to one opportunity opened up another door. If I'd never done Toastmasters, I never would have done stand-up. I never would have done improv. I never would have gotten into the marketing thing. Mm-hmm. And that's where we met through Craig Doeswalt. And that led to having a radio show. And that led to me being a guest on your show, us forming a little accountability group where we get together and hold each other accountable for things. It's all because I took that first step.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Walt, because one door open leads to another. We're going to talk more about that when we return from the break. Thank you.
Project management expert Norm Prevost and connection expert Heather Hansen O'Neill return after the short break with more inspiration and team strategies to help you and your team achieve winning team performance. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Girlfriend It is on TogiNet. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, with your hosts Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. This show is your chance to share, learn, laugh, and connect with other women. The Girlfriend It principle was born out of loss.
Lisa had recently had her mother pass away from cancer, and my mom was murdered. A man just walking into a room and started a 23-second shooting spree.
I think one of the things we both realized going through those tragedies that you can be extremely okay and be extremely sad.
Check out girlfriendit.com and then be a part of Girlfriend It, the radio show, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You know, your boyfriend or your husband or whatever, they don't totally understand that emotional side to a woman like another woman does. And I think that's so important, just to have somebody that you go, she gets me.
Check out the website, girlfriendit.com. Don't miss Girlfriend It with Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on toginet.com. It's time to capture the simple peace of the Amish in your own life. Amish Wisdom with Suzanne Woods Fisher. Thursday afternoons at 5, 4 Central. Each week, Suzanne will have conversations with guests about living a life that incorporates principles of the Amish without going Amish. She'll cover the practical, simplicity, slowing down, reducing clutter, putting the brakes on materialism. The historical, how have the Amish survived for 400 years? How can we hold on to what we hold dear? And spiritual, treasuring important values, honoring the past, and increasing peace of mind. You don't have to become Amish to make personal peace a reality. Amish Wisdom will help all of us live a simpler life. For more information, go to SuzanneWoodsFisher.com. With Amish Wisdom, Suzanne offers us a glimpse into a world of peace, serenity, and total commitment to family and God. This show just might change the way you live your life. It's Amish Wisdom with Suzanne Woods Fisher.
Thursday afternoons at 5, 4 Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to the Inspired Team Leader Show, your source for inspiration and strategies for achieving winning team performance. With more of today's show, here are Norm Prevost and Heather Hanson-O'Neill.
Hello and welcome back to the Inspired Team Leader Show. We're feeling inspired today by our guest, Walt Grosso. Norm Prevost, my co-host, is with us today. I'm going to give the number to call in one more time if you're interested in asking Walt a question, or Norm or myself. The number is 888-475-9405. So, Norm, did you have a question for Walt before I dive right in?
Yes, I do. So you're gonna you're gonna give me a chance to participate now. I like this.
I'm always asking you.
I know that. I'm just joking around with you. So, Walt, you talked about knowing that you were gonna retire in 5 years and you had to get up and speak in front of a large group, and you decided to go on and learn something anyways. Why'd you do that? And, you know, I think that falls into one of your lessons learned. And so can you talk a little bit about that? What motivated you?
Yeah, it's part of my nature. I guess there's a label lifelong learner, and I'm not a perpetual student in terms of formal education. But when I made the decision to go into leadership, then I started reading any book I could get on leadership. And I would get books from our technical library and read magazine articles. And then with the evolution of the internet, I would subscribe to blogs and do research. And so I'm always about making myself better every day. I taught the 7 habits at work, even though I was deathly afraid and probably did a very poor job because I read a lot of the material, but I was so passionate about the material. And it took me a while to be introspective and write a mission statement, but I did come up with one where my mission is to, what I enjoy doing is to help people solve problems and learn something new every day. So that kind of fell into the learn something new every day aspect of it. And that just happened to be a skill I finally decided to learn about. And even on my journey of learning, you can learn and then you have to do. And that's one of my rules, is you can't just study, you have to do the work. Too many people, like I thought, oh, if I just attend boot camps and watch people speak and learn how to speak, it will make the fear go away because I'll know what I'm doing. That didn't work. I just basically, you have to get up and practice. But to your point about why did I choose, it was kind of my nature, and I was never one to just mail it in. The week before I retired, you know, I was checking out, wrapping up loose ends, but I still tried to be a contributing member of the company up till the last minute, because that's just how I am. I don't mail things in. If I do something, I want to do it right, and I always want to do it better today than I did it yesterday.
That's awesome. That leads into a theme that we talk about all the time, about being authentic, and you're going in there every day and you're giving it your all, no matter whether it's, you know, you got 10 years left or you got 1 day left. I think that's awesome. Heather?
And I think, if I may, I think that's important as a leader to set that example and not ask people to do things that you wouldn't do, and never be too big to do something. If I may share a brief story, there was a time late in my career where our management kind of played a little bit of a game with us and said, you know, you have to deliver this software product to our customer on this date. If you can deliver it a week early, we'll let you deliver the documentation on time. And my team killed themselves to deliver that early. And then they said, oh, by the way, we want the paperwork to go out the next day. And I said, but you gave us a week. Well, you guys just need to get it done. And I was going to get in between me and my team, and I told them, look, they're being ridiculous. You guys killed yourself to do this. If we're a few days late to this new delivery date, I'll take the heat for that. You don't have to do it. And the people more than one person said, no, we're going to do it not for them, because we know what they're doing. We're doing this so that you don't look bad. And that's because of, over the years, the credibility that I had by when they needed to get things done and some paperwork had to be walked around for signature. If they couldn't find somebody, and instead of that slowing them down, I would help hunt down the people doing some of their job for them so that they could get their job done. And you inspire loyalty in people when you are authentic, when you do the work and you don't just sit around and expect people to do something and then all the light shines upon you.
Exactly. That is awesome. Awesome.
I love that. That is really important, because we talk a lot about leading by example and about doing the right thing, integrity, and that's exactly, they are loyal to you when you do the right thing. And so that's a great story, Walt. Thank you for sharing that. I'm looking at one of Walt's rules that says Bo knows. I think I'm going to need a little bit more information about that one.
Okay, that's because you're too young, Heather. Back in the day, there was an athlete named Bo Jackson, and he was a football player who was also talented in baseball, and he played professionally at both levels. And Nike did a commercial where they would show him playing different sports like ice hockey and everything, and it was where the shoe, the cross trainer, came out. It was instead of having a tennis shoe or a basketball shoe, these cross trainers you could do for any athletic activity. Well, I had done something similar to that in my professional career. And then later, the way the Walt's Rule came out was because instead of just doing Toastmasters and speaking, I did improv and stand-up, because those skills complement each other. And if you do all three, you're a more well-rounded speaker. The way that applied to my work life, as a shy guy getting leadership assignments, I had a problem when I would get into a room full of people, I was expected to lead and taking charge because I was physically uncomfortable. I was shy. It was hard to be assertive with people I didn't know. And I also played in company softball leagues. And I had bad knees, and as my career was kind of winding down in my early 30s, that sounds so tragic, but I asked one of the umpires, you've seen me play for years here, do you think I have the temperament to be an umpire? And he goes, yeah, and we need umpires, and they encouraged me to get into that. And you may say, well, what does being an umpire have to do with being a leader? To a field, and in a softball where there's 10 players, there are 20 people you don't know that you have to come in and take charge and enforce the rules of the game and get along with people. Because if you're having arguments all day, you're not an effective umpire. The best umpires are the ones who you don't even notice they're there. They just run the game and the people play and life goes well. So I took on that as a cross-training assignment, and believe it or not, it helped me at work because I got more and more comfortable being dumped into situations where I was asked to take charge and I didn't know the people. Another thing I did cross-training-wise was coaching youth basketball. I was married at the time and had stepchildren, and we got them involved in youth basketball, and I'd played basketball in high school. And they said, well, can you help out or something? And I said, sure, I'd be willing to help out. And they said, well, can you coach a team? And I go, well, I don't know. But I said yes and did it anyway. And trying to lead a team of third and fourth graders to play basketball is actually quite similar to leading a team of engineers. None of them want to do what you want them to do. Very independent. It's a challenge. And from doing that, I learned my work experience gave me patience with the kids, and the way it translated into work was it helped me just really focus on communication and being sensitive to what motivates people. For instance, I thought I would motivate them by, we're going to shoot free throws, and if we don't make half of them, we'll have to run a lap. Well, the kids just started running. They're, we'd rather run than shoot free throws. And it's like, oh! So taking those kind of lateral assignments that are fun actually helped me develop my as a manager and a leader. So that's kind of where that comes from, whether it's speaking, whatever you want to get better at. If you look at things that are not that, but that may have translatable skills and are fun to do, you will get some growth in a different way and have fun at the same time.
Wow, that's fantastic. I love it because it's thinking outside the box, and you're using everything ties together. You know, the say yes and figure it out later. Okay, so a door, an opportunity comes, and you figure out how it's going to apply or help you in your world. The having fun theme carries through everywhere. I think that is an integral part of the entire picture of leadership, is being able to see leadership, the vision of how can I take this skill that I have to learn and make it fun and make it apply. How can I do this thing that I really want to do and make it apply? How can I be open to a new experience, a new door that opens, and then use the skills and make it apply? I think that openness and that a willingness to jump into it is a very strong leadership skill. We have a couple of minutes. So did you want – this kind of piggybacks on one of yours, which is invest in yourself. Do you want to talk a little bit about that before we go to break?
Yeah, maybe if I can't finish the thought before the break, I can finish it after. I had a boss named Rick Pozo, and Rick was a different manager. Each department or each organization had an overhead budget, and that involved everything from – paper and paper clips to training. And when people would get their overhead budgets slashed, a lot of organizations, the first thing they would slash was training. Mm. Rick said, I want to be real diligent and not spend money on furniture we don't need, on supplies that we don't need. Be smarter about how we use that discretionary income. I want to use as much of that as I can for training, because training isn't an expense, and it's an investment in yourself. And
well, that's fantastic. We are going to spend more time on this after the break. We're going to go to a commercial now. Thank you.
Okay.
Project management expert Norm Prevost and connection expert Heather Hanson O'Neill return after the short break with more inspiration and team strategies to help you and your team achieve winning team performance. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Girlfriend It is on TogiNet. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, with your hosts Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. This show is your chance to share, learn, laugh, and connect with other women. The Girlfriended Principle was born out of loss.
Lisa had recently had her mother pass away from cancer, and my mom was murdered. A man just walking into a room and started a 23-second shooting spree.
I think one of the things we both realized going through those tragedies that you can be extremely okay and be extremely sad.
Check out Girlfriended.com and then be a part of Girlfriended, the radio show, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You know, your boyfriend or your husband or whatever, they don't totally understand that emotional side to a woman like another woman does. And I think that's so important, just to have somebody that you go, she gets me.
Check out the website, girlfriended.com. Don't miss Girlfriended with Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on toginet.com. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us
for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu. Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to the Inspired Team Leader Show, your source for inspiration and strategies for achieving winning team performance. With more of today's show, here are Norm Prevost and Heather Hanson-O'Neill.
Hello and welcome back to the Inspired Team Leader Show. I'm Heather Hanson-O'Neill. Norm Prevost is here, and Walt Grussell is our special guest today. Before we went on to the last commercial break, we were talking to Walt a little bit about the fact that he and I experienced the same thing, where a lot of times when you go into a company and talk to them, the first thing that's cut is the training budget. Now, could you continue that story, Walt?
Yeah. So, Rick... my boss, Rick Pozo, had us have that philosophy that training was an investment in the employees. And I've taken that and applied that to myself. A lot of employees at work will only do the training that the company provides. And I think they're doing themselves a disservice, because if you get the same training as everybody else, it makes it harder for you to grow and advance, you know, in your personal interests and become more valuable to the company. So why not invest in yourself and pay for your own training? To me, that seems like it should be an automatic, and yet people are going, oh, no, I can't afford that. And if you look at it as an expense, you're right, you can't afford it. But if you pay several hundred dollars to go to a class on the weekend or at night, that makes you a more valuable employee, and then you get promoted faster and your income goes up. It isn't an expense. It's not like you're buying a donut and you're going to eat it and that's it. It is something that's going to make you a more valuable asset. And I think Warren Buffett was the one that said, education is an investment in yourself. It can't be confiscated or taxed. You know, it's the best investment you can make. And people who do that see the results. And as long as you're thinking that improving yourself is an expense and not an investment, then your mindset isn't geared as good as it can be to your success. Sorry if that's a little preachy, but
no,
I really...
No, you know what? That's not preachy at all, because it's exactly in alignment with... I mean, take a look around at the most successful people that you know, whether it's successful in business or in life or financially or just the happiest people that you know. There's one thing that they always have in common, and that is a perpetual need to learn and absorb new things, to experience life, or to they understand that they don't know everything. So they're continually investing in themselves, or reading or listening to audio tapes or going to conferences, doing things to expand their awareness. And I think that is a huge factor in what makes someone happy and successful. So I think you're right there with what you're talking about, Walt. That's fantastic. Norm, you had a really interesting question for Walt. Would you like to present that now?
I would, but I want to add on to this thought train, because the thing that a lot of people are missing is that there's a lot of inexpensive classes these days. And of course, there's shows like what Walt does on Thursdays and what we do today that provide training, or at least information, that is of relatively no cost, except you just have to sit there and eat your lunch and listen to us. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that's a good point. Keep going.
Okay. One of the items on Walt's list that struck me is perfection is the enemy of progress. And, you know, I thought we were supposed to sit there and wait until we were completely 100% ready and sure before we went off into the world and did something.
No. There's a couple of dimensions to this. One is, like when my first year and a half in Toastmasters, I gave 6 speeches because I didn't feel I could speak unless I was going to go up there and give a perfect speech. Well, no speech is going to be perfect, and all I did was delay and procrastinate. But in the business environment, there's two things. You have deadlines, and In engineering, it's a compromise between cost, schedule, and performance. You have a certain amount of money to do the job, and or it needs to sell for a certain price. You have a certain amount of time to get it to market, and it has to do certain things. And if you can't do all of them, you have to make some changes. And a lot of people get focused on vision, especially the technical and the technical arena, and they'll be, you know, you almost have to tell them, look, it pencils down, the test is over. It's good enough. You can make it better, but if it takes 6 more months to make it better, then we're 6 months late on our contract. Or in the 6 months it takes us to get our product out, our competition will have something out that's not quite as good, but it's there, and people will buy them and get addicted to their system, and then we'll have this great thing that nobody wants to buy because they just spent X amount of dollars on this given product. So the idea there is that rarely are things perfect, and having good judgment about what is good enough to put into the bigger perspective of time and schedule. For instance, if you're giving a speech tomorrow, if you only have 24 hours to make the speech, you give the best one. If you only have 2 hours to prepare it, then you give the best speech you can prepare in 2 hours. You can't not show up or show up a day late to give the speech because the dinner was tomorrow because you didn't have time to finish the speech. You know, so we have to make those trade-offs. And I think people let the fact that they can't or that it's not perfect prevent them. They use it as a procrastination tool, or it becomes some kind of a barrier depending on the situation.
Yeah, to me, it's always been a crutch. I mean, folks use it as a crutch so they don't really have to deliver. They can just keep working on it.
Yeah, but some of them, you know, in fairness to some of the people that are wired that way, the ones who are technical and they don't get into management, they just have a passion that, you know, they will work, you know, day and night on something, and they just say, well, you know, I can do it better. And it's almost like an artist with a painting, right? They can always, you know, tweak this, tweak that. Or writing a book is a good example. When I wrote my book, it was like, oh, you know, if I had more time, I could, you know, edit it better and, you know, change this word and that word. But at some point, you know, I'm the only one that's going to notice how much better the book is. The audience won't know the difference.
Correct. But you're right. You do have to, you know, recognize those team members that are on your team that strive for that and ease them out of that. I'm not trying to be heavy-handed at all, but you do have to guide them through the process of letting go.
Yeah, and sometimes it's this – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Heather.
No, no, finish your thought. I had something to add, but you finish your thought first.
Sometimes it's almost like snapping them out of their trance and say, look, I appreciate that, you know, you can make it better and that you have the skills and the talent to do that. But if we don't get it done, you know, we're going to incur financial penalties, or, you know, the manufacturing people won't have enough time to order the parts and do this. You have to give them a parts list today. It's kind of snapping them from their, you know, where time stands still and they're just working, into the reality of, no, I'm just a piece of the puzzle, and I have to kind of let my piece go now.
I think that what this is speaking to for me is the importance of appreciation of the diversity within a team, because we're talking now within ourselves, being able to figure out where the line is of perfection and taking action. But when you're looking at a team, the appreciation of the different styles on the team. Sometimes we look at the differences and are like, oh, well, that person's doing this, or they're different, or I don't understand the way they do things. But when you look at how important it is to have all different styles, we need the quality control people that are those perfectionists, but we also need those risk-taking, action-taking individuals that can make the decisions, as well as the people that tie everybody together. When we look at that at a team, as to what each person brings to the table and how we work together and compromise, that's what takes everything to the next level. That's what makes one person great, but it's what makes the team that much better when you work together. So I think this is really awesome. We have only 3 minutes till the end of the show. I mean, I could talk to you all day, Walt. You have all kinds of great stuff to offer us. You can choose. I love that one of your rules is be nice to people when you don't need anything from them. But I also like to ask our guests about a person or a challenge that they overcame that defined them. So you can decide where you want to go with this, but we need to make sure to save some time again at the end for your website so they can see all of the rules.
Okay. I think maybe let's just go with the be nice to people when you don't need something for them.
Yeah.
As part of overcoming shyness, I mean, when I was shy, I would walk down the hall and not make eye contact with people. And, you know, that didn't work. And there was a situation where a guy came in and asked some ladies that were silly ladies working in the lab with me, and a guy wanted a favor for him, and he was schmoozing them and stuff. And spent a half hour, and they were already busy trying to make nice so he could ask her to stop what she was doing and do his rework. And she said, you know, that guy walks by me in the hall every day and doesn't acknowledge me, and then when he needs something, he's my best friend. And she said, Walt, be nice to people. Be nice to me when you don't need something from me. And so I kind of made eye contact with people, and there were times down the road, either people would come up to me and say, what's your name? You always say hi, and I don't know who you are. And then like a week later, you're in a meeting with them on a new project. You already have rapport. I had to get something shipped from our shipping department, and I went down and asked for a favor. And it was somebody I'd passed in the hall and smiled and said hello. And she went out of her way to help me, I think in part because of the rapport I built just walking down the hall. So don't ignore people or be rude to people when you don't need something from them. But be nice all the time, and that will pay off.
It does. And you know what? It's about a continual focus on building the relationships. I think that is a really important part of being a leader, as being real and kind, as well as inspiring and knowledgeable. So we only have 30 seconds left. So Walt, give us again your website so that people can learn more.
Yeah, come visit me at waltgrassel.com, WALTGRA, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, L as in Larry.com. Thanks for having me, Heather and Norm.
Thank you, Walt. You were awesome. And Norm, we'll next time talk to Sarah Hagee.
Excellent. Can't wait.
Norm Prevost and Heather Hansen O'Neill return next Friday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time for another edition of the Inspired Team Leader Show. This and other archive shows are available as a free download from iTunes. The preceding has been a presentation of ABRN, the All Business Radio Network.